If you've struggled with stress, balance, or burnout, and simply feel discouraged or even defeated, and if you're ready to move from force to flow and enjoy ultimate Zen success in your career, health, or relationships, then the Zen Success Show is for you. Your host, Carissa Sims, is an entrepreneur, corporate consultant, best-selling author, meditation teacher, and healer who has found her own Zen success. Here's your host, Carissa Sims.
Welcome to this week's episode of Zen Success. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Karen Noe. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. And Karen and I have spoken together a few times with Humanities team. So we had a wonderful discussion, a Q&A about communicating with the beyond just a couple of days ago. So that was really fun. Yeah. So Karen is a renowned psychic medium, spiritual counselor, and healer. She is the author of We Consciousness, Your Life After Death Through the Eyes of Another, and the Angel Quest Oracle Deck. She is the founder of the Angel Quest Center in Waldwick, New Jersey, where she teaches classes, gives readings, and practices alternative healing. While Karen is in high demand with a 2-year wait list, she is passionate about teaching others to become mediums themselves, knowing that we all have the capacity to tap into guidance from across the veil at any time. Since best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer left the physical plane in 2015, Karen has been receiving profound messages from him for his family and the world. Wayne also shares his messages with Karen from a group of celestial beings called the We Guides. That includes St. Francis of Assisi and numerous angels and ascended masters. Welcome, Karen.
Hi there.
So I was curious, this We Guides, is that how you came up with this We Consciousness, this book that you wrote?
No, it's actually, it's a long story and I'll give you a short answer, as short as I can. Right after Dr. Wayne Dyer passed, I was devastated. I did not know him personally. I was a fan of his, you know, I read his books, went to his lectures and so forth. You too.
Me too. Yeah. I'm a fan.
I'm sure everyone who's listening, if you know. So I was devastated and I didn't think, now we were fellow Hay House authors. So people think I knew him. I did not know him personally. You know, I went to his lectures and so forth.
Oh, okay. They don't have Hay House parties for the authors where you all connect.
They do, but he never was at the ones. I went to Louise Hay's 90th birthday and so forth, but Wayne wasn't there. Yeah. So I think I don't know if he passed at that point, but okay. In any case, through synchronistic events, the first of which I was on a bus going from a hotel to a conference center to go to Dr. Wayne Dyer's tribute. I was sitting on the bus and there was one seat next to me and in walks his daughter, Serena. He has 8 children, but one of his daughters walked in and sat right next to me.
Quite a few. It's hard to imagine 8 kids.
Could you imagine? I know. And very long story short, he started to come through after that event to each one of his children and his wife for a period of 3 years. He came to them singularly, giving them messages that's only for them, that only they would know. Nobody else would know. So his family knew without a doubt it was him coming through. But he also joined a group consciousness called the We Guides. And they were going to give me, I forgot to mention, let's go back a little bit. So right after that event on the bus, when I first started to speak to Wayne and he was coming through and I said to myself, I'm insignificant. And I'm walking back to the bus. I said, I don't want to go on the bus. I'm going to walk back to the hotel. So as I'm walking back to the hotel, I said, in my mind, I'm insignificant. And that's when Wayne came through for the first time. And he said, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. And he screamed. So I said, Wayne, if that's really you, give me a without a doubt sign to let me know it's you. And then I said, how may I serve? And he always said that, how may I serve? When you say that to the universe works in ways to serve you as well. But he said, you're already serving. I said, fine, how may I serve more? And I walked back to the hotel room. And then when I got back to the hotel room, there was something very itchy inside of my shirt. And I reached in to grab to see what was in there. And I reached in and there was a sticker that had somehow attached itself to the inside of my shirt. And on the sticker were the letters W-E on it. And I had not, and on tiny, tiny letters on the bottom of it said Disney World. I had not been to Disney World. So I have no idea how that got there. Now I know. So then as soon as I found it, I felt Wayne and he said, is that good enough? I said, yeah. I thought it was his first letter and last letter of his first name. That's what I thought. And he was fooling. He's playing with me and saying, well, the more is to come, blah, blah, blah. And then I went home and long story short, I connected with his family and I went for a walk on one of the first walks before his family came and I started yelling at him. And I said, you better come through when they come, because they were going to fly in from Florida to New Jersey to come to see me. I said, Wayne, I've been doing this many years. I've been connecting with deceased loved ones for many years. I'm a medium, but I've never connected for your family. And you better come through. That's when he came through very loud and clear. And he was so excited to talk about the afterlife and so excited to talk about the we consciousness. And that's when I remembered what was on the sticker, W-E. W-E was what was on the sticker. And what that is basically the interconnectivity of everyone and everything. And whatever we do to ourselves or another affects the whole. And he was going to be joining a group consciousness called the We Guides, where it would be hard to differentiate him from everybody else. And they would be giving us 33 concepts to make the world a better place.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a love story.
Well, I think you did a good job shortening it up. Yeah. I mean, that's so. I have so many things that I want to talk to you about, and I did want to mention one thing about Wayne. So Wayne and I share the same birthday. Oh. So not the year, but
Taurus.
Taurus, May 10th. Yeah. And so I was so excited because I felt that, oh my gosh, like I felt like a connection with him. And at the time I was doing this, like selling vitamins, like a multi-level marketing thing. Uh-huh. And I gave him vitamins. I went to one of his events.
Yeah.
I gave him vitamins and I actually signed him up.
Did you?
For this multi, and I had his cell phone and I would like talk to him.
Oh my gosh.
And I would like talk to him. But it was like in a time in my life where I didn't really feel worthy of him. I sabotaged it. Because he's like, okay, you know, I'll call you when I want more vitamins. I don't want to be on this monthly thing, you know, because it was like this multi-level thing. And so anyway, and I sent them to him. I don't know, there was like some glitch. And then he got like a little bit annoyed with that and kind of like lost connection with him, lost his cell phone, but I'll always remember our conversations and how much inspiration he gave me and encouragement. So I'm sure he's wonderful. Like that from beyond as well.
You signed Wayne Dyer up for vitamins. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I had some interest and Michael Bernard Beckwith too. I had him sign.
Did you do the same thing with him?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But then he got his own vitamins. And anyway, I don't do that anymore. But I just thought it was interesting that connection that I have,
you know,
with him.
What I'm curious about now that you're with Humanities Team, you work with Michael Beckwith. Did you ever speak with him? Have you talked?
Well, the interesting thing, Karen, is I used to sing in the choir at Agape. So I was really connected with the church.
Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful. And now I live in Colorado near Boulder. Uh-huh. But, you know, I didn't really realize how deep of a connection he has with Humanities Team. You're right. So eventually I hope to, you know, do a class with him or field questions. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you for asking.
Great stories. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did want to ask about the We Consciousness book. So what why the number 33? Why was that significant to this group? And I also feel that there's something about Wayne, like joining this group. It's like, it feels like an honor or something like that. What do you think?
Yes, there's a number of things. 33 signifies spiritual enlightenment and the upliftment of all of mankind. And he, after he left the physical plane, he saw that this was very important, especially this was, you know, they came through right before 2015. So it was right, you know, in the United States, what was going on during that time. And he was very, he really wanted to make the world a better place at that time. And it's very pertinent information about creating peace in our lives and in the world as well. So, and yes, it's an honor. He joined a consciousness that resonates with who he was, you know, promoting peace on earth. And St. Francis is part of that group consciousness. You know, it's similar to Abraham. If anybody follows Esther Hicks.
Oh, yeah. I have.
Mm-hmm. It's a group consciousness, and you really can differentiate each individual entity through in that system, but they come as a group consciousness so that when he comes through with those guides, it's hard to pick him out of that group.
It does make sense. And that's so interesting because I had heard that maybe at some point that Abraham Hicks was a group of guides, but I forgot that. It's so easy to forget when it's channeled through Esther Hicks and she's coming through with these messages that it's a group. And yes. How many is in that group?
Oh, countless.
Oh, countless.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right? Amazing. That's amazing. And what about Wayne Dyer's group?
Group with the We Guides. That's what he was resonating with. So he joined group consciousness with that group consciousness.
Yeah.
So, and the best part about this is they don't only come through to me. Everybody can connect with the We Guides. If you want to create peace on earth or within yourself, just ask the We Guides to come, you know, to come to you and give you some messages. They come through telepathically as thoughts, as guided messages, do this, do that, and to pay attention to that when you're receiving them, these messages.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, absolutely, because you hear about different spiritual teachers that have different channeled messages, you know, like Metatron, or you have the We Guides. And so you think, oh, well, they're coming to that person and they're channeling. But what you're saying is if you have that intention to connect with peace, then you can bring in the We Guides or whoever else.
Absolutely. And that's what I always talk about in my classes and workshops is that, sure, yes, I'm a psychic medium, but my purpose is to empower people to do what I do. And that includes connecting with the We Guides or any other spiritual entity that you wish to connect with.
That's beautiful. Now, if people are just getting started, where would you recommend people starting as far as connecting with spirits or the beyond? Would it be their family members? I mean, most people are wanting to connect with their family, right? Or they sometimes maybe want to do celebrities or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, celebrities are busy, but what I would say is first, I would tell them to meditate every day so they could connect to source. To the creator, whatever you want to, if you want to call it God, whatever. And once you do that, you'll be able to see, you know, maybe you would like to connect with angels or deceased loved ones, but it's all the same way of connecting. But the most important thing is we need to raise our vibration. So it's more on par with the energy of those who've passed or the angels or God or highly evolved beings in other dimensions and so forth. We can all do that. It's a process.
Process, yeah, of practicing and meditating and being in that space. Do you feel like flashing lights are a sign that spirits are around, or can it be?
Absolutely. I call that a without a doubt sign. A lot of times the angels or our deceased loved ones, they don't have a physical body. So they'll come to us as lights. You know, as orbs, as lights, or as a shadow or something like that. Have you seen them?
Well, I see the lights flashing. Some of my abilities do not include seeing images. I have not seen a spirit before, but just before our meeting today, I was really excited. I was in so much joy. I was like, yeah, I get to talk with Karen again. And then I saw the lights flash and then it went full on. So I felt like they were confirming that they were there. And I asked, because you told us this before, said, ask, why are you here? And so I did, I tuned in, and I didn't tune in to like a specific spirit. I didn't feel like anything specifically, but they said, we just wanted you to know that we love you. Oh. And we're always here if you want to talk.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, I had never asked, why are you here before? So thank
yes,
you.
Yes, you're welcome. And you know, I would love to tell the listeners, you know, they're probably expecting to hear a voice or to see an apparition of their loved one. But look, you saw light. And I bet it came, that message came telepathically rather than an audible.
That's right. It wasn't.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't have a clairaudience. I haven't practiced that. Or I do.
Yes, you see what happens is they don't have a physical body, deceased loved ones or the angels. So they speak to us telepathically as thoughts, as feelings, and all, you know, like that. So you were receiving the messages. I would call it clairaudience. You know, there's four different ways of receiving messages. But yeah, you got the words and the feelings and so forth. Yeah, so I would tell the listeners, you're expecting to see an apparition or hear an audible voice, but your loved one or the angels, they don't have a physical body. Chances are they're speaking to you telepathically as thoughts that pop into your mind for no reason. And to pay attention to that. Always pay attention.
So you obviously feel, since this whole discussion, that anyone can be a medium. And so what is your story? Like, how did you first start hearing messages from the beyond and connecting?
Well, first of all, I've always been psychic, but not to the extent that I am now. Some things happened when I was a child. There are many stories. My friends would say I freaked them out because I would know things before they happened.
But, how old were you when
my grandmother had a bookie. She used to play the numbers and she'd say, what number? And I would give her the number and she'd it was things like that.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And my father used to take me to the racetrack and I'd pick the winning horses. And now I'm an animal activist, so I don't go to the track. But God bless him, he's in his 90s. And he still gambles. And he still says, you know, about the racetrack, but I don't go there anymore.
You're sweet and loving. You're like, God bless him.
Yeah, God bless him. He could go, but I'm not, you know, who am I to tell him not to? But about 25 years ago, I was going through a difficult time in my life. And I sat at the edge of my bed and I yelled at God. And I said, am I going to be okay? And with that, I saw a light that came towards me from the other side of the room. And as it was coming towards me, I said, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it came towards me and enveloped me. I felt the most incredible peace I have ever felt. And I heard an audible voice that time. And it said, Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina. And that's my email address. That's, you probably recognize that. I use that now. For those who are listeners who are Italian, it means light, little light, beautiful little light. And I've since learned it was St. Francis of Assisi, who's been guiding and protecting me ever since. And there's my animal connection. Ever since then, I went vegan and I love the, you know, all of that. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll see the animal connection and peace and love connection. But ever since then, you know, I started receiving messages from angels and deceased loved ones a lot. I was pathetically shy. I did not want to share these messages. I didn't want people to think I was not in my right mind. But the more I shared the messages, the more they meant things to the living loved ones. And eventually I began practicing in the back of a hair salon at first. And
oh,
I did.
You did. Yeah. So that was 25 years ago or 20 years ago?
Even more than that.
Oh, I can't even more than that.
Track of time, but yeah, I practiced Reiki, and every time I did Reiki on this energy healing, for those who don't know what that is, I had my hands on them doing the Reiki. their loved ones would be coming through. I'm in their energy field and I'm like, oh, does yeah. this mean something? Does that? And it was always very specific, crazy things, you know, something like Aunt Jemima. And it long story about that message. And I just, when I started doing messages, I said, I shouldn't share this. It's so silly. But one of those first messages, I saw a picture of Aunt Jemima. They sent me a picture, the deceased loved one. And I shared it. And the woman jumped off the table and she said her friend and her actually met the real Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima came in a jet plane to their school and served pancakes. So without a doubt, there's no way, long story short, there's no way I would have known that. And the Aunt Jemima connection was what got it for her. She knew without a doubt it was her friend Alice that was coming through.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. So trust those messages.
Trust the messages.
And what were you doing? Did you have a job before that?
So I was at that particular time, I was a stay-at-home mom. Oh. And I gradually went back. I have my MBA and everything. I worked before my children. I have my MBA and working in marketing and so forth.
That's helpful.
Completely. Okay. Yes. Completely different, but you know, having my own business. But then I learned Reiki, went back of hair salon, did practice the Reiki, and my business just thrived. It just, first I was booked months ahead of time, then years ahead of time, and the rest is history. And that's many, many years. So
yeah.
But again, I'm going to say something. This is not about me because I'm telling everyone listening that they're able to do what I do. They can.
I know, but I am interviewing you. I know your main purpose is to inspire, empower others for everyone listening.
I want people to realize that, you know, meeting is, it's good to go to a medium, but to understand that they can connect with their loved ones themselves. And there's, you know, there's different ways of doing that. And I teach courses on how to do that. But
amazing. Yeah. Do you teach a course on how to get a 2-year waiting list of clients? I want to know how we can, I want to attract this in my life. Okay. This is like what I want to do.
Seriously, I don't know if you do because it's very, if you're doing this, seriously, if you've been doing this for over 20 years and being booked 2 years ahead of time, at some point I want to stop. And every time I say, okay, I'm going to be on hiatus or I'm going to retire because I'm at that age now, people say, you can't do that. Oh, what will I do without you? Because people come back, you know, and I feel guilty. So while it's good to have a thriving business.
Yeah.
And what I would tell you how to do that is about your thoughts, create your reality.
Okay.
That I would tell you to do a vision board and to put on the vision board exactly what you desire, to focus on what you wish, on what you want rather than what you don't want, right? Focus on solutions rather than the problems and feel how good it would be to have whatever you have on that vision board. I teach classes over here. I have a Law of Attraction weekends here. It's one of my favorite courses that I teach. And some of the things that came out of that course, it's just amazing. And it's just the power of your thoughts because we're like a magnet. So whatever we're thinking and feeling, we're creating in our lives. So if we think we can't do it, we won't be able to do, right? Or you're focusing on what is. This is the way it is now. I don't have enough clients. That's all that will happen. No, right? Most people do that. Oh, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. So if you focus, how good would it feel? See the end result. Imagine a thriving business. Imagine how much you would like to be making. What you would be doing with the money. Get excited about it. Who would you, you know, be with and so forth. It really does work. I'll give you an example. I know I'm talking a lot, but.
No, this is for you. We want to hear your wisdom.
My, one of the workshops, I had this wonderful woman, Tammy, and she's a police officer and she was not being promoted to lieutenant for a number of reasons. And she came to the workshop and the whole weekend we're talking to her about as Lieutenant Tammy, we kept calling her that. She bought a badge. She bought a badge online, Lieutenant. This is a real story. The following week, no lie, the following week, she was promoted to Lieutenant. She emailed me. Now, what did she do differently? She just acted as if she was a lieutenant. And that's what you would do. You would feel the feeling of your wish fulfilled. That's what Wayne would say, right?
Yeah. And it's like she stepped into who she needed to become also.
Yeah, she acted as if she was already. So you don't want to say, I want this, because you'll always be in a state of wanting. Or on your vision board, you don't say anything with negative. I don't want this. No, nothing like that. You say, I am abundant. I have a thriving business and so forth. Every year, every New Year's Eve, I do a new vision board for the year.
That's
every
amazing.
Year, I look at the end of the year. I'm like, oh my gosh, I meant all of that came true. But one year, it was not this year, but the year before that, they said, oh, what the heck? It would be great to have a documentary. I would be in a documentary about life after death. I said, it would be great. And that was it. I didn't even put much thought into it. I put it on my vision board with a documentary, a picture and all that. An email from a producer that they were doing a documentary on life after death. And would I be interested in being interviewed? So that happened just, and I didn't care if I was interviewed or not. It just, I put it on my vision board. So I would say, do whatever would feel good to you. Whatever resonates with you, I'll help you. Email me, do a vision board, and I'll help you tweak it. All right.
Okay. Well, also, do you want to mention your website in case people want to sign up for any of your workshops?
Sure. Is it just your name? Sure. It's KarenNoe.com. Okay. That's KarenNoe.com.
Okay. And are these in-person workshops or virtual?
Both. There's some in person, some online. Some I go to different places, Omega and so forth, and I travel, doing a Costa Rica retreat in February. So all over the place.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when you started being a medium and working as a healer and medium, did your relationships change? Did you find yourself with, look at your smiley. I'm assuming they did. With new friends or like with your kids, that relationship, and how old were your kids? Yeah.
So what happened at the time is I remember thinking that I was alone in this. And, you know, I wish I had friends that would understand what I was going through and so forth. But once I did that, it was, you know, some of the friends that weren't into this type of things just gently went away. They're still in my life, but not to the extent that they were back then. And new friends did show up and so forth. I did get divorced after that. And so forth. It's just, and we're in a very positive relationship now that we got divorced. We're still friends and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's just, can you imagine? He's a lawyer and I'm an airy fairy medium. So, you know, it's just, we're different from each other. That's all.
Yeah, that's happening to me right now, just to get personal. I'm going through a divorce. And I still love him. But yes. Yeah, we're just different. Yeah.
You know what I would recommend? If my book is called Through the Eyes of Another, I wrote that book during my process of divorce. And what I was talking about in that book is how to go through your life review now, how to see through the other person's eyes. It's a long story, but how I was able to see through each person's eyes, my children, my ex-husband, try to see through their eyes. I never meant to hurt them, but I did nonetheless. And it wasn't just me. It was a mutual decision that their dad right. and my made. But I'll tell you, everybody's going to be okay. You'll see. You'll see what I mean. It's the worst right in the middle of it is the hardest.
Yeah. And I do feel that, thank you for saying that. And thank you for that encouragement. And, you know, I didn't mean to like put all my personal problems on you.
No.
I just mean that I'm where you were, I'm at right now. And I think part of it is like, I'm changing spiritually. And it's like my partner we just can't connect or relate at all.
So what's important to you is not important to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to you and working with your clients, what is the process when you work with a client? So do they contact you online? Do you have like an application, or is that a secret? Do you not want anyone contacting you because you're so busy?
Yeah, I don't know. This time I'm not taking any new clients.
Okay.
Because the ones who come back just want to keep coming back and so forth. Most of them are in person. I do phone appointments for those who are far away, Hawaii, all over the world and so forth. But for the most part, it's in person. They come and I do Reiki on them. I call it angel therapy. And what happens is their loved ones come through, but it's not only that, it's healing the living loved one, because the deceased loved one is absolutely in a state of bliss. It's the one who's in my office who needs to be healed. So it's like mind, body, spirit. They're being healed on all levels. And then there's evidence of their loved one coming through as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So is it just as effective on the phone, or do you do Zoom, as it is in person?
I prefer in person, and it's something about being in your energy. But of course, it doesn't always work that way because there are some people that are far away. It still happens during COVID and everything. I did many phone and Zoom readings. But I think the most important part of the appointment is the healing. The healing, which would be the Reiki, the tapping, we do the tapping, energy healing, and whatever they're going through. If they're going through grief, or if they're going through a divorce, we heal that. We heal that energy, which is so important before, so you can move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're in going through a divorce, that you have to not only heal yourself, but maybe there's a karmic connection with your partner or a sacred contract or something like that. I'm sure there's a lot to be healed around that.
Right. And to understand that there are no judgment. Like, in other words, if you could see through your soon to be ex, you didn't get divorced yet, right?
No.
Try to see through his eyes. And if he could see through your eyes, if you could see through his eyes how he feels, that's really important too. And you could understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
Not always easy.
What?
You're not always easy, but you have a daughter?
Yeah, I have two kids. I have a daughter and a son, Sierra and Kinley.
And how are they?
Yeah.
They're okay.
How old are they? My daughter is 8 and my son is 11. My daughter is homeschooled and my son goes to public school. And I'm a little bit, part of my desire was to be with my kids, to not work a lot. But now I have shifted and I want to work more.
Yes.
So I think that's why.
Yeah.
Things have changed for me. And
it's your passion now. You're doing what you love to do.
Well, that's right. That's right. I have more desire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when they were young, I just wanted to be with them and cuddle. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, now spread your wings. And
you're getting older now, so they're okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. So tell me about the other book. So we talked about a couple of your other books, Life After Death. So what did your clients inspire you to write it? And what is it about? Is it testimonials or stories in there?
Which one? Your Life After Their Death, is that particular book, is how to connect, how to empower you to become the medium, how to heal after the loss of a loved one. And there's different techniques in there, tapping and Ho'oponopono.
Oh, I love Ho'oponopono.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And for those listeners, it's just a very long story short. It's four statements. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And you say it over and over and over. And because we're all one, when you say that, you're healing everyone, not only yourself. But different techniques in that book, how to connect with angels and deceased loved ones, how to look for the signs, how to raise your vibration so it's more on par with the energy of them. And so forth, how they'll be coming to you.
Yeah.
That's in that particular book.
Oh, that's incredible. That seems like a good place to start for people, yes, for your book.
That's the, that's the book I always, if somebody passes, a friend's mom, dad, I just give them that book. It's everything I've learned over the many years of doing mediumship. Mm. Or lose, yeah, when they lose a loved one, how to heal. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When my father passed away, I was in denial. Like, I went through all this, these emotions. Obviously, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has like the stages of dying and what we all go through. But one of the things that I had for a while is I had guilt and shame that I didn't do enough at the hospital. And like hearing you speak and everything that you say, it really freed me. And connecting with him, he said it was his time, that he wanted to go. And it was so helpful for me.
And not only that, there's absolutely, he's able to see through your eyes why you did or didn't do certain things with no, he's not angry at all, with no judgment. He only loves you unconditionally. So no regrets. And this is almost, I hear, no regrets, promise.
I promise.
Promise.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the Oracle deck you created. So yeah. Were the images and messages downloaded or did you want to show it?
You know, I don't have, you know what? I have all my books, but no, I don't have the cards with me up here.
Oh, that's okay.
But my Oracle deck, it inspired me because there was a person who did Oracle decks who now, you know who I'm talking about, who now is no longer doing Oracle decks. She renounced angels. And I said, I know who that is. You know who it is. So I said, you know what? People always ask me how to do angel card readings. And so I said, I have to do my own. So I channeled each and every card. And I found a wonderful author who did the cover to my book, Your Life After Their Death. And her name is Marie Antoinette Kelly. And we worked each and every card. I channeled the message. She channeled what the angel would look like. And each and every card we looked to make sure it was, we agreed upon each and every message. And then there's a guidebook in there telling you how to do it, how to do an angel card reading, how to clear the deck, how to energize the deck and so forth.
Oh, that's great. I really believe in cards and I have a few decks as well. It's not a regular part of my practice, but every once in a while, like I did a workshop for some women and they asked me specifically to do card readings. Nice. So I brought in those. I need to get your cards, to be honest, as well. But I did the goddess cards.
Okay, beautiful. That's the person that we're talking about did those. Yeah.
Yes, the person that shall not be named. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I find it like interesting.
Well, yes. This person became a born again Christian and says anything to do with, you know, Reiki or psychic abilities is not of God. And I know it's completely not true because the closer I get to God, the higher, you know, the more loving and peaceful I am, the more I'm able to connect. So
yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
So what is Zen success to you?
What is Zen success? Oh,
yeah.
This is something I would love to ask you. That's the name of your...
That's the name of... Okay, sure.
I would love to hear from you. Yes.
Sure. Yeah, sure. You can hear from me. So to me, it is moving from force to flow.
Ooh.
Having effortless... abundance flowing to you in all areas of your life, relationships, financial abundance, and your work or whatever it might be.
Easily and effortlessly. Yes. Do you know what you do? If you came in to see me, you could do this on Amazon. You could order $1 million bills.
I've never done that.
Yeah. Just get them. And then you could, you know, put them in your pocket or your wallet all over the house on a vision board or up on the ceiling. The first thing you see is that. it really does something. I've had, great stories of people who've done that. One person, she was going through a divorce. She won the lottery. She won the lottery, a lot of money. So,
and hopefully you healed her so that she could keep the money. You know, you hear these stories of people winning.
She had to wait until the divorce was final to collect.
But she could, right? She could wait. Yeah.
I only could wait a year.
Could wait a year.
But what you feel the feeling. And there's nothing wrong with making money because, you know, we were all taught, oh, if you're spiritual, you don't need money. But yes, we need to survive. Right. And the more you have, the more you can give.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, beautiful. So do you want to talk about your retreat you have coming up?
Oh, I love to talk about my retreat. So I'm going to be doing a retreat in February in Costa Rica. And they flew me to Costa Rica last week. I just got back last week. No, 2 weeks ago. I just got back last week. Oh my gosh. Did you ever do holotropic breath work?
No, I never have.
Oh my goodness. They did a session on that. That's not, you know, that's not the whole retreat, but we did that and I'm researching. I would love to become a facilitator. Mm-hmm. So much involved, but it's a different way of breathing. And you actually reach a higher level of consciousness. I've been meditating for over 25 years and nothing comes close to that, but that's not what the retreat is about. It will be on the retreat. The retreat's going to be about enhancing your intuition and psychic abilities. So each day we'll be talking about how to do that, you becoming your own medium and how to trust your, you know, how to see auras, how to use pendulums, how to use angel cards. It's just a lot of fun things. And we'll be doing drumming circles on the beach as well as cacao ceremonies and so forth. And it's just a beautiful experience. And you're in nature. There's going to be plant-based food, 5-star food. It's the most amazing. Those who came there, who went there, many of them are not vegans, but they said that now they can understand that you don't have to just eat salads all the time if you're a vegan. But it's quite the experience. It is, if anybody wishes to come, you could go to my website and I have more about it on there, KarenNoe.com.
Okay, wonderful. So it's all gourmet vegan.
Gourmet vegan, things that I would never have guessed. I mean, everything is grown on that land, you know, so you're in nature. I went during the rain season. Mm-hmm. So it was very humid. My hair was all frizzy and all that. But you know something, when I was there, usually that would bother me. But I was like, everybody else's hair is frizzy too.
You looked beautiful.
No. You know, things you just learn to live. There's no locks on the doors. Things that at home, I lock the door, do this, you know, nobody's coming in.
Yeah.
You know,
that's amazing. I'm vegan too, by the way.
Oh, good. I have to tread lightly because I do know.
Others that eat meat.
No,
I actually converted when I was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, tell me.
And I find there's a lot of other things that shifted in my life. Actually, my spiritual abilities started to come in more.
And how long ago was this?
What?
How long ago?
2020, 3 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you decided to go vegan for health reasons or?
Yeah. Yeah, for health reasons. I mean, I like animals, but I still ate them. I didn't feel, you know, I bless them, kind of like the Native Americans. You know, I'd be grateful. I'd visualize where they came from and da 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 and all this. But I do feel now. I'm not against meat. I'm not that like advocating everybody turn vegan. But mm-hmm. I will say that a lot of things changed for the better in my life, not only the cancer. So it's really incredible. Yes. Now I'm just like, wow, I feel so much more energy. And like even working out and everything, it's just.
Well, you're not ingesting pain. Because what happens when you do eat the animals, you are ingesting the pain of how they, you know, regardless, they say, you know, they slaughter them in a kind way. Yeah, they slit their neck, blah, 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 you know. But you know what I have found? There's, you know, everybody does whatever they wish to do, and there's no judgment again on my part either. But I do know one thing. I'm not telling everyone to become a vegan. Of course, I'd love that. But if not, I do know they can eat one plant-based meal a week. That I do know. And if they could try that, that's one less animal that needs to be killed.
Yeah.
I know the more you eat, stay away from that, the more psychic and more spiritual you become.
It's true. That happened to me.
And you've done that. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. My abilities came in stronger for sure. And my daughter just turned vegetarian. So now my husband and my daughter, they're vegetarian. They're not vegan. But then my son, no, he's not ready. So in his, you know, I'm letting him eat, you know, meat, whatever he wants. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, my kids, when I became first I was a vegetarian for many years and then I became a vegan. I was cooking for the family, you know, and at that time my daughter was a vegetarian. It was just me and her. And now my two sons and myself, we're all vegan, and my daughter is a meat eater. So, cause she's married, but yeah. So I cooked for everybody.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. Whatever they, well, I just feel like you're such a good friend. I know we just met, but
I would love to continue to connect.
I don't know. My heart just feels so full. It's been such a pleasure going deeper with you, hearing about your journey and how to become a medium. Anyone who feels called, sign up for her Costa Rica trip. Yeah. And I'll put your website, how to buy your books and your angel cards in the show notes. So thanks for being on my show today, Karen. Oh,
thank you so much. And keep me posted on how you're doing, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right.
That's it for today's episode of Zen Success. Head on over to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to shows. Subscribe to the show and share with friends. Be sure to head on over to zensuccessshow.com to help you on your Zen Success journey. And join us on the next episode. May you find your own Zen Success in life.